Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Taking Your Next Step podcast from Collegians for Christ. Through each episode, we will journey together focusing on knowing what you believe and why you believe it. If you are eager, like I am, to strengthen your faith, then take your next step now by joining us in today's episode. On today's episode, we'll continue looking at the parable of the two lost sons. It's often referred to as the parable of the prodigal son. And so we looked at that first last week, but I think the big emphasis, if you will, is on the second son. And I think many times we kind of lose that emphasis because we focus so much on the prodigal son, as the title reveals. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with focusing on him, but Jesus is speaking to two different types of people. And to begin with, he was speaking to Pharisees and scribes, and then from there, he was speaking to publicans and sinners. So the prodigal son, the younger brother, was relating to that group. And then the older brother is relating to the Pharisees and scribes. And so we see the younger son had left the father. He wasted it all. He disrespected and rejected the father. The father ran to his lost son and restored him back into the family as a son and forgave him and threw a huge feast. So we saw that God's forgiveness can restore any type of sin and wrongdoing. I think what makes us take a gasp, if you will, is the reaction of the older brother, because here the older brother emphasizes the believer in a sense. It emphasizes the religious person that's not put their faith in Christ. It emphasizes the people that think they're doing good and would be the model citizen, if you will. I mean, think about the older brother in our passage here. He would have always said, yes, sir, and no, ma'am. He did what he was told to do. He always followed the instructions of his parents, his teacher, and his boss. He was faithful to church services and events. He seemed like a good Christian man, but on the inside, something was ultimately bad. And so many times good doesn't always mean better. You see, the older brother thought because he was good and he lived a good life that he was ultimately better than the younger brother. The younger brother was just open and honest about what he was doing, where the older brother was kind of on the inside, on the down low, if you will. And so as we walk through our passage here, I want to focus in on the reaction of the older brother and to see really the wrong reaction. And if we'll be honest with ourselves as we walk through, you and I have to be careful that we don't get the same mentality that because I am good and doing certain things for God, that I'm better than other people or that God owes me something in life. And I think you and I as Christians have to be very, very careful not to get the older brother syndrome, if you will. And so we come to our passage here in Luke chapter 15. It says this, now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and the father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And watch this. And he was happy. He was excited. No, he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And we'll look at that in just a moment. So the first reaction here, he was angry. His selfish response to the father's love is anger. You see, the father rejoiced, but the older son was angry. What was he angry about? One, it was he was furious at the cost. Here, the younger son had already taken his inheritance. He comes back and he's given the best robe. He's given a ring. He's given shoes on his feet, and he's given the fatted calf. He's given that beautiful dinner with the filet mignon or the T-bone or the ribeye, bone-in ribeye. That's just delicious. You see, the older brother was upset at the cost because he had worked and he had earned what he had, but his younger brother did nothing to earn anything. And he was angry and resentful that his efforts, watch this, him going to church, him praying, him doing all the right things, never received a celebration. Yet the younger brother received this celebration after coming back. He was furious at what seemed to be the injustice of the father. He said, I've worked hard, I've never disobeyed you, and he has done nothing but squander and disobey. And he's thinking in his mind, this isn't fair. Where is the justice? You can't do this for him. How often do we look at people and the way they live their lives in comparison to us and say, that isn't fair. They deserve some type of justice, some type of, they don't deserve the forgiveness. They need to prove themselves first. You see, he was furious that the father was acting so extravagant in his love. The father had forgiven the irresponsible son and had completely restored him. And as a result of the anger, he refused to go into the feast. He would not go in. The bad son enters the celebration of the father, but the good son does not. Think about that. That is so backwards. Why? Because he would not forgive his brother. Why would he not forgive him? Here is a good young man who has followed the Father, who is religious, who follows what seems to be the Word of God to a T, but on the inside, he couldn't forgive. Why? Because he didn't think his brother deserved forgiveness. He had done too much. He had gone too far. And as a result, you see, he thought, because I do all these things that I'm better than, he felt superior to him. And you know, it's hard to forgive someone you feel superior to. And you and I have to be careful not to look down our noses on other people, because we are faithful to God, because we are doing what we feel is good. And if we're not careful, it'll cause you and I to be like this older brother. You see, he completely misunderstood himself. He misunderstood why he obeyed the Father. You see, it was out of what the Father could do for him, rather than what he should do for the Father. And what I'm saying is, it was out of fear rather than love. Jesus says, look, if you love me, keep my commandments. But here he served out of fear. And I think too often you and I as Christians can get trapped in this mentality of, we serve God out of fear. We serve him because we're afraid of what he might do to us if we don't serve. We're fearful of what might come in our life. You see, he said to the Father here in our passage, he said, I have never disobeyed you. That's a powerful statement given to the Father. You see, he misunderstood the true nature of himself and of sin. He was saying, I've never disobeyed you. And as a result, God, Father, you must do certain things in my life like I won't. You see, sin is a matter of the heart that will eventually display itself in behavior. And here it was coming, rushing to the top, if you will. The most dangerous place you and I can get is a place where we think we don't sin, or at least in comparison to others, think we are good. It's a very dangerous place to be, and it resulted in him now disowning his brother. You see, the older brother should have gone after the younger brother to bring him back to the father. But look what happens. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Look, I've done all these things, and you didn't do for me. He thought in his mind, because I have done these things, God, you owe me. Then verse 30, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. It wasn't my brother, it was your son. And we know when we make statements like that, it's not my friend, it's your friend, or it's not, that's your sister, or that's your cousin, rather than relating them to us personally. You see, the older brother should have gone after the younger brother to bring him back to the father. Why? Because he loved the father and the brother. The older brother does not actually love the father or the brother. Think about it. His behavior shows he only loves himself, which is no different than the younger son. And ultimately, this led him to mistreating his father. You see, the treatment of the older was no different than the younger. They only both wanted the father for what they could get from him. They just went about it in completely different ways. Both rebelled against the father, one by following the father and trying to keep every bit of his commandments, and the other by saying, look, I'm just going to go out and live my life. One by being really bad and the other by being really good. You see, you can disgrace God by either breaking the rules or keeping all of them. As good as this younger or older brother thought he was, he broke two of the greatest commandments. He said, I've never disobeyed you. And here, he's not loving the Father with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he's definitely not loving his brother as himself. Here is the good, obedient son breaking two of the greatest commandments. So what does that mean for you and I? There's some resulting attitudes, I believe, that come from this type of person. And these are attitudes you and I as believers need to be very careful that we don't get in our lives. Number one is this, it's our motivation behind our moral behavior. Why do you do what you do? Do you live good lives out of fear? Or out of joy and love? Do you serve God out of fear, not out of love? You see, sometimes we serve God out of fear, and fear being of maybe something he's gonna do to us. If I don't do this, then God's gonna look down on me. I'm not gonna have the favor of God, or he's gonna cast a lightning bolt out of sky, or he's gonna cause all these events. He's not gonna be favorable to me. That's the wrong motivation. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Not keep my commandments out of fear, because if you don't keep my commandments, I'm going to do X, Y, Z. You see, this results in you and I serving God out of a check mark and not out of joy and love. Being motivated by a moral duty results in bondage. It creates severe emotional frustration. It creates boredom in the Christian life because it's all about check boxes. Religious and moral duties are a huge burden and can even become crushing. You ever wonder why you will see like strong Christians that have this huge moral failure, and it's very shocking. But the pressure to appear good and happy becomes too much. The frustration and the bondage becomes too much, and they explode, blowing up their own lives. When we're serving for the wrong motive and being good in life for the wrong motive, it just creates a bondage that is too much to bear. The second is this, we'll have pride in our moral behavior. It creates a dangerous superiority complex. It causes you and I to look down at other people thinking we are better. Anyone who doesn't look like me, act like me, talk like me, go to church like me, it makes me think that I'm better. It creates a self-righteous attitude. We will openly announce other people's sins, but not our own. We will see other people's sins, but be blind to our own. We will compare ourselves with others that we feel are worse than us in order to do this, to make us feel better about ourselves. This allows you and I to feel that we are good. But it also creates a judgmental spirit, a spirit that judges quickly, harshly, and unjustly. Think about with the older brother. He looked at his younger brother and was just totally annoyed with him, frustrated with him. He judged him quickly, and it creates a spirit that is unwilling to forgive. But this is the Christian that attends church every Sunday, every Wednesday, who's at the events, that gets this good doesn't mean better attitude, that gets the syndrome of the older brother. Because I'm doing all these things God should do for me, because I'm doing all these things, I'm better than. And honestly, it creates prejudice, discrimination, and racism. Unfortunately, some of the most racist people I have known were Christians. Why is that? Because of the older brother syndrome. And lastly here, our rights because of our moral behavior. You see, this attitude makes us feel like we have leverage over God, that we can control him by our behavior, that we can put him in a position where he owes us one. You see, we obey because of what we will get, not who we will get. And that is super self-centered. And that's what we said about the younger brother. We looked at him and he only wanted what the father could give him. He didn't want the father. He wanted all the benefits of the father. But the older brother is no different. He served and did what he did because of what he could get. Because I live a good life and I go to church and I check all the boxes, then God owes me answered prayers. And as a result, when God doesn't answer our prayers the way we think or want, we get frustrated, angry, doubt, or just give up. Or we think God owes me a good and a smooth life. Because we have lived a good life, we should get a good life. The problem with that, if a trial comes into our life, we can get angry, furious, and even bitter with God. or wonder, are we living right? And begin to think our behaviors related to how God relates to us. But because of justification, our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. You and I are, we are justified by faith and we have peace with God. The middle wall of partition, scripture said, is torn down. Jesus brought it down and we have complete access to God. It has nothing to do with our behavior or our moral duty. You and I cannot leverage God like a genie in the bottle based on our behavior. You see, we expect our goodness to pay off, and when it doesn't, we're confused or disappointed. And this can turn to anger and bitterness. You see, we're trying to control our life through our own effort. We're trying to control God through our own effort. And this is the syndrome of the older brother. This is when good doesn't mean better. And you and I as believers have to be careful. I think we have to take a very realistic self-evaluation into our own heart and our own lives of why we're doing what we're doing. Because the older brother, he had no idea. And the saddest part of this story that Jesus gives is we never know if he went in. The way it's presented is this older brother is religious. He's not saved. And the father is reaching out to him. He's doing everything to keep all the father's commandments. But at the very end, Jesus never tells us if he went into the feast. That is sad. That is sad. And I pray that you and I, as believers, can examine our lives and understand being good does not mean we're better. And understand that being good does not leverage God. It does not mean God owes us anything. And you and I need to have the heart of the Father to forgive and to be excited when those who are lost in sin, who've wandered off, come back to Him and receive forgiveness. Thank you for taking the time to listen. If this podcast has been helpful to you, please share it with a friend or subscribe to stay up to date on the latest episodes. You can connect with Collegians for Christ online for more information and resources at cfccampusministry.com.